We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, and looks like we are good. Welcoming everyone to another installment of the Orange and Blue View. I am one of your hosts. Hopefully one of your faves, Ron White. On that side of me, you'll see my partner in crime, Mr. Dylan Von Arks. Dylan, how are you doing today on this pretty nice Saturday, man?
I'm doing really good. Just a fair warning, might hear some screaming in the background. My brother is watching WrestleMania in the other room, so just bear with me if that happens, but yeah, doing good overall, for sure.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, another big WrestleMania thing tonight. So that's keeping folks intrigued. So, but tonight here, we're going to be discussing your favorite topic, the Denver Broncos. But before we get into some of the comments that you guys have, some of the questions, we want to say hello to a few people here in the chat. See who's joining us tonight. We got David Yonkin coming in. Thank you, David, as always, for showing support, my guy. He says, evening, everyone. Hope everyone is having a great weekend. And I hope you are as well, David. Thanks for coming in the chat, my man. We appreciate you. All right. And then we got Todd Ostendorf coming in. Hello, Broncos country. Hello to you as well, Todd. Hopefully you are doing well and that you are also having a great weekend. Thank you for coming in. All right, let's see. Got Kevin Gray. Thank you, Kevin, showing up. We appreciate it. He says, hi, Ron and Dylan. Big mile high salute to Broncos country. Denver Broncos for life, MHH for life, Buckham. Again, Kevin, thank you for coming in, my guy. We appreciate it. Let's see who else we have here in the chat. I got you, Kevin. Sorry, Ron. I don't know why I do that. Got you. No worries, man. It's all good. Thank you. Thank you for coming in. All righty. Let's see. So we got some comments here as it relates to Edge and No Vaughn, obviously. So Todd coming back in here saying no Vaughn Miller in this draft. And then with that, David coming in, no, I know, but there are some good edge rushers. So, yeah, guys, we want to get into kind of a topic as it relates, obviously, to the draft. But we know all the talk has been quarterback. What are the Denver Broncos going to do at quarterback? Are they going to get one in round one? Are they going to get one in a later round? And obviously, we still don't know that yet. But we want to kind of look at the roster in its totality. Looking at some of these holes that the Broncos need to fill, how they want to prioritize some of these key position groups, and kind of seeing where maybe some these draft prospects may fall on their board. So I know there was an article out, I think it was maybe about a week or two ago, Dylan, as it pertains to, I think someone in the media saying that the Broncos were like a bottom three as far as the roster is concerned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if I quite agree with that. Certainly there are much worse teams out there when it pertains to the roster. And I think, you know, the Broncos have done a pretty good job given the cap situation, given this dead money that they have to deal with over, you know, the next two seasons, you know, as an outcome of the Russell Wilson debacle. But we kind of want to look at, you know, again, I don't agree with that as it pertains. You know, they filled in some of the key positions. Obviously, they released Justin Simmons. Brandon Jones comes in at a fraction of the cost, which I thought was a good signing. Malcolm Roach from the Saints, helping to kind of fill out that defensive line. Picked up a few offensive linemen as well. So I would say they've done a pretty good job given their situation with trying to iron out this roster, or at least start to iron out this roster and fill in some of these key holes and kind of fill in this depth. But there's always room for improvement. And Dylan and I are going to discuss a few position groups that we see are still some needs there, David, here. So, Dylan, anything to add to that? I'll let you go first as it relates to, you know, what position group you may have for starters and what you think the Broncos should start to prioritize.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot more holes on this team than just quarterback, but that's the big position that we've been lacking at for years now. But there's obviously a few that still need to be addressed. And I'll just start it off by saying I believe it's offensive line, whether it be I know we have Garrett Bowles, but tackle, guard, and center, because Ben Powers, very, very shaky last season. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't bounce back this year, the Broncos could be in trouble. And center, obviously, we just signed a free agent. We have we lost Lloyd Cushenberry. And it's always good to have depth on the offensive line as well, especially with injuries, as we saw with Mike McGlinchey, went down a few times last season. And building up the trenches should be a priority for this team in general, and especially offensively, depending on if you do get that quarterback, whether it be a rookie, whether it be, God forbid, you know, like another free agent, which is a possibility. But there's a lot of talent, especially at tackle in the first three rounds. It's very tackle heavy. And there's some guards and centers that are also worth a look. But building up the trenches, especially on the offensive side of the ball for a team that's led by an offensive head coach in Sean Payton, where the perspective of this team is flipped from defense to offense. It's very important to build up those trenches.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, that is a good one, Dylan. And you also help to wonder, you know, what does the future hold for a few of these offensive linemen? Garrett Bowles. You know, there still might be some talks that he could be traded maybe on draft day, maybe as a part of a package. Who knows? And we've also seen with Mike McGlinchey just how you know, he's kind of been not living up to those expectations. So you wonder, you know, if it's time for the Broncos to start prioritizing tackle, guard within this draft at some point. We've seen them not looking at those positions in the draft, at least prioritizing them for those premium round picks. And it's something that needs to be looked at. And now with Sean Payton, you know, coming into the second season and second draft with the Broncos, I'm pretty sure that offensive line, again, I don't know about the first, you know, those three, four rounds, those premium rounds, but I would say those are going to be probably positions that they're going to consider, and also looking at their draft boards as well to select, because we need that. You know, we need to fortify the trenches. And you also mentioned center. You know, center is key as well with that departure of Christian Berry. Again, I know the team is high on Forsythe, but who knows how that's going to shake out. So so we will see. But that's definitely something that definitely needs some prioritization for this draft.
Mm-hmm. And just before we move on, the Broncos also haven't drafted a tackle since Garrett Bowles in 2017. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah. Like, that's what it makes you wonder. Like, it has to be addressed at some point. Like, since 2017, that's ridiculous. So, but yeah, I know, you know, with Sean Payton, it's things are going to change. Things are going to change with that offensive line even more. So... All righty. Before I get into mine, we got Casey Nickel coming in. Thank you, Casey, for the $4.99 super chat. It says Simmons' market is awfully cold. Chances he will come back on a one-year deal? No. I don't see Simmons coming back, at least for the Denver Broncos, Casey. And the market is cold just because I think for him, comes out, he's wanting too much. I really think that's what it is. Simmons is commanding way too much money, and you know, the safety market is so dense now, and teams are picking up these safeties at a fraction of the cost of what Simmons wants. So we know that Simmons has great talent, you know, and even more talent. I forgot is he 31 now? 30 or 31?
Yeah, he's around there.
And so there are plenty of good years left with him, Casey, but I don't know, just given where this team is now, again, they brought in Brandon Jones to do what Simmons did. And so I don't see Simmons coming back on any sort of deal for the Denver Broncos, but I do hope that he gets signed somewhere soon.
Yeah, hopefully. He's a very talented player, and I hope it's to a contender as well. He deserves to at least be in one playoff game. He's just been so impactful for our defense, especially when it comes over to turnovers. And yeah, you just never hear him get mentioned over, especially when Tyrann Mathieu was with the Chiefs and stuff. He was always getting mentioned over Justin Simmons. It's probably because they were winning. But Simmons had better stats than him overall ever since he, I think, passed his rookie year. He didn't play much his rookie year at starting. But yeah, he had comparable or better stats. And I just really hope the guy lands with a contender.
Yeah, he deserves it. You know, that's what I've been pining for. I thought that, you know, the Eagles or the 49ers would have picked him up by now. You know, those were two teams I had in mind for him. And again, you know, it could still happen, obviously. But, you know, I think that price is going to have to come down, kind of what he's wanting. At least that's what I'm thinking. But yeah, thank you, Casey, for coming with that. I appreciate it. And then I want to see, because it gets into mine, William Catalano coming in here. Thank you, William. Thank you. Says D-line I'd get before tight end. And that gets to my first position group. So it's defensive line. And I think on all of the podcasts, I mean, hell, even fans, Dylan, can see last year that the defensive line can even stop a nosebleed. So this is an area that the Broncos are going to have to look at improving. And we're looking more specifically into that interior defensive line. But even more so for me, it's the depth. It's the depth that's been the issue here. We just need bodies. The Broncos need bodies on that defensive line. Hopefully bigger guys can come in, help penetrate that run. Stop the run, help out Zach Allen, provide some sort of juice inside as that pass rush. So, you know, for some of the members of the defensive line group, obviously there's Matt Henningsen, DJ Jones, Zach Allen, Malcolm Roach. And then you'll have Uwaz Irike, hopefully, you know, coming back if he's reinstated. So I'm happy with the Roach signing, you know, because he did rank high as far as stopping the run. He's a very excellent, solid run defender, so it should already be improved from that alone. And then the fact that, well, it looks like from signs that DJ Jones will be staying, at least for now. So that's good that he's, you know, for now going to be back and can still be good probably at the nose. So, again, I want to say if they can look at targeting in some of those mid to late rounds, maybe pick up two players on that defensive line. I think that'll help to alleviate maybe some of those concerns that we have. Now, some of those targets on the defensive line, some guys to maybe target, Tavondre Sweat from Texas is a good one. Tyler Davis from Clemson is also good, looking at some tape. Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa, and then McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M. So those are a few, you know, on the defensive line that the Broncos maybe can look at considering, you know, maybe round four and on for sure.
Yeah, this defensive line has been just absolutely dreadful. And I know some people want to use their first-round pick on a corner, you know, say if quarterback's off the table for Sean Payton. It's we can't build this defense from the back forward. You know what I mean? It's Patrick Surtain, the best corner in the league, in my opinion, was getting beat by Devontae Parker because his defensive line can't get home or get a little bit of pressure to move Bailey Zappe of all quarterbacks off his spot. So it's like, oh yeah, you, as good as Surtain is, or any corner for that matter, you can't expect them to hold up for like 7 to 8 seconds plus in coverage and, you know, be perfect. So getting pressure, especially like up the middle, is a big thing. And you've seen the contracts that have been handed out very recently around the defensive tackle and defensive end recently. And it's just, it's somewhere that the Broncos definitely need to look at, because Zach Allen can't be the only guy on the interior, especially, right. doing work, and he, despite not having anyone around him really, he had a pretty solid season, and I'm sure he could grow into this role on the defensive line so much more if he just gets a little bit of help, a little bit of pass rush. Mm-hmm. Like you said, even the signing of Malcolm Roach, I'm really happy about. I think it's a good signing, but he doesn't add so much in terms of pass rush.
Yeah.
But obviously they need help with everything on the defensive line. Like, the teams are just running wild on us, and you just can't have that. So yeah, defensive line is definitely way up there for a priority for this team.
Yep. Yep. Most definitely. Yep. And thank you, William, for coming in with that. It looks like we think alike. We're sharing a brain there, William. So that's good to see. Good to see, my man. All right. Let's see who else we have. Oh, we got DTR coming in with a $10 super chat. Thank you, my man. He says, evening, Ron and Dylan. Hello to you too, sir. What is the best way to utilize the 3 fifth round picks? Do we try to trade them for more early draft capital or swing on late round team building? I'll toss this one over to you first, Dylan. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much for the donation, DTR. We really appreciate it. Fifth round picks. Yeah, so like day three for me, and I think most people would agree, you kind of want to just take a shot on traits. Especially if you could see like a great to an elite trait in some guy. And I hate to bring it up because, you know, quarterbacks, that's going to take over the conversation. But for whatever reason, Sean Payton doesn't get a Bo Nix, a Penix. He doesn't trade up for a May or a JJ. And he doesn't like a Spencer Rattler for whatever reason. And I'm not saying I want this, but maybe a team that's looking for a project, like a Joe Milton, he's a guy with an elite arm, and that's someone you can get in the later rounds. And that's the kind of thing you would look for, say, in the fifth round, maybe a project. I'm not sure Sean Payton would go that route. I'm just talking kind of in general. But if we're talking about the Broncos, there's definitely a ton of receivers that could be in that range. And obviously the Broncos have Mims, they have Cortland Sutton, and then they just signed Josh Reynolds. But past that, there's no reason for those guys to be entrenched on this roster. You can get younger and more talented, even in the fifth round. Like, there's just traits from some guys that personally I love. Like, you can maybe get a Luke McCaffrey early fifth. Mm-hmm. He might go fourth. It depends. Not only is a good player, the name goes a long way. One of my guys, Cornelius Johnson, you could probably get him pretty late. Fifth might be early. It's hard to say. But I definitely would look at wide receiver in that range. And you could typically get some good interior offensive linemen around there. It just depends what the Broncos decide to do with those picks. I'm not sure trading up. I mean... Now that I think about it, Sean Payton is an aggressive guy, but especially, I mean, he traded basically what was 2 third-round picks to get Riley Moss. But in the later rounds, yeah, I think you probably just take shots on guys you think have great to elite traits. And it's like, hey, maybe I could build him up into something.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Thank you, DTR, again for coming in. This is a very good question. I would say, I think you and I are sharing brains somewhat, Dylan. This is how I would do it, though. So yeah, I would say with two of those picks, and again, I'm not saying this will happen, but two of those picks, stay pat, take the guy with the potential, those elite traits, and see how you can mold them into the offense or defense. I do think with one of those, you may see it moved as a part of a package to get back into, you know, another round or to move up. I would say that'll probably be the way to go. Obviously, if Sean Payton likes somebody enough, I can see one of those being used to move up. But yeah, I'm definitely with you with the remaining two of those picks. Target some of the positions we're talking about here. Like defensive line would be a perfect position to target, as I just mentioned. You mentioned, Dylan, a wide receiver. Maybe a Brandon Rice and or Luke McCaffrey will be there for the Broncos to select. If tight end isn't in there, there's some tight ends that might be in play as well. So I would say, yep, use those picks and bank on those traits and work with those players on those traits, and maybe they can do something. But yeah, DTR, thank you. Again, and then to the last question, I think I answered the last one. Do we try to trade them for more early? And then, that could also be a possibility. You know, kind of trading back to acquire more picks so you can have more swings. But I do think, you know, that's more the George Payton way. I think the last question would be more of what George Payton would want to do. But now that we have a new sheriff in town, you know, undergoing his second year as head coach, I would expect them to stay put and or trade, use that as a part of a package to trade up. All right. But yeah, great question, DCR. That one makes you think a bit. So I like those ones that make you ponder a little bit. We appreciate it, my man. And then let's see who else we have here in the chat. We have Gary Palmer coming in. Thank you, Gary, for showing up to the 99 Super Chat. We appreciate you, my guy. He says, good evening, Ron and Dylan. Safeties will pick up after the draft, I think. Yeah. And I think you will see that. You will see a run on safeties, let's say. And I usually, you know, safeties are usually drafted, usually those mid late rounds. So if a guy isn't there that teams don't like, you know, they'll probably look back to see who's available and even maybe try to sign a few. But yeah, I do expect that position to pick up after the draft for sure, Gary.
Yeah, especially Justin Simmons. But. Yeah, there's going to be teams looking to fill the hole at safety, whether they need some depth or they need a starter after the draft, because some of the lingering free agents, just at any position, you're going to see get snagged up after the draft due to needs that they couldn't fill in the draft. And especially with safety, it's not an amazing class this year. There's some guys I like late, and the only one that I'm like truly like in love with is Cooper DeShean out of Iowa. I think he can do everything. You could play him at safety. You can play him at corner. He's a great returner, but obviously I don't think the Broncos are in a position to take him so early. So it's kind of a bummer, but yeah, once teams finish up the draft process, they'll definitely be looking at safeties.
Most definitely. Let's see who else we have here in the chat. We got Mr. Patterson. Luke. coming in. We appreciate you, my guy. Bronco Country, please show some love to the fellas on Orange and Blue View. Be sure to peep the homies Ron White and Dillamon Arcs every Saturday night at 6 p.m. Mountain. Thank you for the shout out, Luke. Good to see you in the chat, my man. Good seeing you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Luke. Always good to see you, my friend.
Yeah. Let's see who else we have coming in. Got Lawrence Rivera coming in to $5 super chat. Thank you, Lawrence. He says, what's up, guys? The conspiracy tea tonight is hopefully the new certain caller starting up during the eclipse on the 8th gives us a better reality.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. that's a good one. Thank you, Lawrence.
Yeah, thanks, Lawrence. You know, maybe, hey, we'll take anything we can get at this point to get the quarterback we want, you know what I mean?
Yes. We need anything, any juice to get us along on this, definitely on the QB position, but just filling out this roster in general. Hopefully we can use that. But yeah, thank you, Lawrence, for coming in with that. And then we got Gary Palmer coming back in with 199. Thank you, sir. He says, I really hope they get McCaffrey. Love that, fam. Yeah. Yeah, that would be, it would just be so nice. You know, like, I'm with you, Gary. Like, the whole McCaffrey family, you know, that whole tree and coming somewhat back around for Luke joining the Broncos, it would just be such a neat thing. And obviously, not only with the family, but Luke McCaffrey's skills are great. He's a great wide receiver, great prospect. So if he's available, again, maybe in that fourth round, for the Broncos, maybe take a look at if he's there. I would say they should definitely consider that as a selection. But yeah, I'm right there with you, Gary.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Yeah, he's definitely got a good teacher in his father. I think his route running will definitely be as good, if not better, than his brother's.
Yep, most definitely. All righty, so let's get into your second and our last position group that the Broncos need to prioritize. What you got, Dylan?
Yeah, so my second area of need or past the quarterback would be a secondary. And for the Broncos, they have some solid pieces, especially at safety. I'm pretty comfortable there. As it pertains to the corner, though, while I'm not willing to spend premium round picks per se, not at least not first round picks on corner at this point, because you've already invested a first in Patrick Surtain. You used two-thirds to get Riley Moss, and then Damari Mathis obviously is a fourth round pick, but you know, still a little higher up there. And you absolutely need to make one of those guys work, but depth is a huge thing for corners, because even if someone's nicked up, even a corner at 90% of their play speed, that's enough to lose a game. That's enough for a wide receiver to break a game, especially. You think about how the Chiefs have utilized their wide receivers. Maybe they don't want to talk about wide receiver right now. But but like I said, you got I do like the starting safeties right now, but behind them you got JL Skinner, not sure what he is yet. Caden Stearns can't stay healthy, and there's some guys like I mentioned before late that you could possibly get, like a Sione Vaki out of Utah. Is one guy I've been looking at. I've been, you know, going through the mock drafts. He's someone I always take late, whether he'll be there or not. You know, you never know with mock draft simulators, but his teammate Cole Bishop is also an interesting prospect. I just lost his name. Malik Mustafa. That's the other one that I've been looking at a lot this offseason. But yeah, in terms of corners too, there's typically kind of a drop off premium rounds, but you can still find solid talent. I mean, Kyrie Jackson at Oregon's nice. Mm-hmm. Chow Smith Wade. Those are just two that come to my mind. But just in general, the secondary needs some depth.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, that's also one that needs depth. And I haven't really, as far as the corners and the safeties, I haven't really looked outside of like the top guys. I do mention Kyrie Jackson. I remember looking at his film, and it's good. Yeah, I think you can definitely, I think the Broncos would definitely be good with him if that's a selection. But yeah, with corner, you know, we, you know, outside of PS2, obviously, and, you know, they have high hopes for Ali Moss. You know, who do you have after that? Damari Mathis. I mean, I'm hoping he can get back to his first season, but I wouldn't expect that. I think you what you see is what you're going to get moving forward, and that's definitely not good enough. The safety room outside of PJ Locke and now Brandon Jones, you can't rely on the health of these guys, especially Caden Stearns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the JL Skinner, and I'm still a fan of JL Skinner. I think, you know, the traits and tools are there. It's just a matter of, you know, how do the Broncos view them? So
get them on the field,
right? Obviously, I think they were banking on that, but it's kind of hard to see exactly what we can do with him if he's not there. So, it's going to be interesting to see how they fill that out as it pertains to the depth, for sure. All righty, let's see who else we have.
Oh, I see some stars here. Let's get our boy Michael Ronquillo up on the
screen. Mr. Ronquillo coming in. Thank you, Mike. We always appreciate you, man. You know, there are not enough words to say how we really feel about you. But again, thank you for coming in, stream in, stream out. He says, good evening, Ron and Dylan on Orange and Blue View. Go Broncos. And again, Michael, thank you for coming in. Hopefully you are having a great evening. Looks like you were watching WrestleMania, aren't you? I think I saw that in the chat as well. So, yep, okay, because I'm watching the WrestleMania 40. So.
I know. I don't know if you were here, Mike, but we started the show. I gave a warning because my brother's probably going to be screaming in the background, watching wrestling. Me and him are huge wrestling fans, so. Itching to watch that, but we got important business here first, damn it.
Yes, yes. Our Denver Broncos are always important business. And again, but thank you for always showing up to support the Denver Broncos. You know, we appreciate you, my guy. And we got Phil McLaughlin coming in, another legend here. Thank you, sir, for coming in as well. He says, good evening, Ron and Dylan. Tough night with NCAA playoffs and WrestleMania going on. Yes. On a Broncos note, how would you guys grade the latest free agency signings? Hashtag Buckham, hashtag MHH for life, hashtag Go Broncos. Yeah, well, this is a great question. I guess we can maybe highlight one or two players briefly here, Dylan, and then maybe just kind of give our overall assessment. I would say I like the Brandon Jones signing. Again, you get a Justin Simmons. I'm not saying he is Justin Simmons, obviously, but you get a Justin Simmons-like player for a fraction of the cost. So I give that B+ for sure. I think, you know, in watching some of the tape, he's very good against the run. He can hold up somewhat in coverage. I would like to see that be a little bit better in coverage, but I think he's good, so I would give that a B+. And also, my grade is high just because of the contract, obviously, right? he's not costing the Broncos as much. So I would give that a B plus. And then I'm high on the Malcolm Roach signing. That's an A minus for me, in the sense of it addresses a big need of the Broncos trying to stop the run. Mm-hmm. That's why that person was brought in. And Sean Payton knew that was an Achilles heel of this team last year, and he made that happen. So I would say, oh, but overall grade, Phil, and then I can let you get to some of the other free agents. I would say, again, given the situation that the Broncos are in with the dead cap, I would give it a solid B or B plus when it comes to the free agent signing class as a whole.
Yeah, for me, maybe it's a little more underrated. Maybe I'm overthinking it a little. But I just love adding bodies to the offensive line. And Matt Peart at tackle, Calvin Throckmorton as well, to the fold as a guard. It's just nice to have depth and even potentially some projects for Zach Strieff to work on, because he did wonders with his offensive line, and I'm a big believer in him. And say we take some guys later in the draft, like a center, guard, tackle, what have you, I believe in him to develop them. And just bringing in these depth guys is going to be huge for the Broncos, especially like I mentioned earlier with Ben Powers not really playing up to snuff, or Mike McGlinchey being inconsistent, whether it's on the field or whether he's injured. So for those signings, you give it a solid C minus, nothing too spectacular, but something that's needed for this team.
Okay. And is that those are just for those signings? You have like an overall?
Yeah. Oh yeah. For those signings. Yeah. I'd be around a C. Overall, I completely agree with you. Somewhere in the B to B plus range. Nothing, nothing super sexy, but what's needed.
Right. Right. And that's the lens in which you have to focus this in. Like what's needed. Like filling out the roster. Again, not just with starters, but depth. And did the Broncos address that and for me, again, they're filling it out with depth as best as they can. So, again, I'm high on these signings. Let's see what happens. But again, Phil, thank you for coming in with that question. I want to grab, and I see one or two more chats in here, guys, and I will definitely get to those. But I want to grab another question here that actually gets to my position group. Nicholas Klinger coming in. Thank you. New name for me, but thank you for coming and says, sup, fellas. What do we expect from Dulcich? Or do we go after a pass catching tight end? So my group, tight ends. Yay. So last year the Denver Broncos ranked dead last in the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, and first downs from their tight end group. So let's take a look at some of these members within the group on the Denver Broncos. Obviously, there's Adam Trautman, Greg Dulcich, Lucas Kroll, and Nate Atkins. Now, Trautman, you got what you got from Trautman. It wasn't anything impressive. He was kind of there as a body. I viewed him. He's there just because of the inconsistency at the position. He tried to be as consistent as he can, 204 yards, 22 receptions, 3 touchdowns in the year. Obviously, Peyton's high on him coming from New Orleans. That's why he's here in Denver. We all know the Dulcich just can't stay on the field, can't stay healthy. The majority of that season last year he was out due to that injury. Kroll has some nice speed. He has some potential in the pass game, but can be very inconsistent on the blocking side of things. And then Atkins, we kind of saw him like appear, I think, once or twice. Didn't really give you too much. But what we're missing here is that the position group of the tight end, for the tight ends, they don't have one guy that can do all of the following three things consistently. Be available.
be an elite pass catcher and a vertical threat, and being a more than capable blocker. So my takeaway from that is this needs to be, I know some of you may, I might be in the minority here, but tight end needs to be, I would say, top three, top four for prioritization outside of quarterback. And with that first round pick, I think a lot of people know how I feel on the top tight end of the class. I'm going to say it one more time. If Brock Bowers is there at 12, Broncos got to run that card up to the board. You have to do it. But if he isn't there, there are still some great tight ends in the class. I mean, you got Jatavion Sanders from Texas, you got Ohio State's Cade Stover, Jaheim Bell, and Trey Knox. I think they're both out of South Carolina. And then you got Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. So you do have a few options a little bit later if, obviously, if Brock Bowers isn't there, or even if you don't prioritize it in that third round where they take. But I just think you need another dimension to the offense, and tight end can provide you that. And again, given the stats last year, the Broncos need to look at adding to that group so they can be a little bit more dynamic on offense.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Nicholas, for the question. I don't believe I've seen you before, but it's great to have you. And it's a great question. Yeah. Tight end is something that the Broncos definitely need to look into, especially with Sean Payton's history of tight ends, especially the big one, Jimmy Graham, and how he utilizes them in his offense. And even Jared Cook recently. We just need a difference maker on offense in general. If it can come from the tight end position, the security blanket for whoever the hell's under center next season, is something that's desperately needed. And obviously, like you mentioned, catching passes, being a somewhat capable extension of the offensive line. There's plenty of guys in this draft. It's not a very top heavy class this year. There's some guys you can find to fit some niches, perhaps. One that I really like, Theo Johnson out of Penn State, kind of play that H-back role. He's very versatile. I think that's something, or someone that Sean Payton could utilize greatly. And then someone who showed up at the combine, Tip Rimon, great blocker, potential as a pass catcher, maybe someone you could get later. I think his stock's gone up a bit since that combine, but that's another name to look at. And everyone else that you mentioned is they're all viable options for the Broncos, and they need more juice on that offense, especially with Sean Payton. Like I mentioned, he needs that dynamic tight end. And as for Dulcich, I think at this point, anything you get out of him is just, it's like sprinkles or the cherry on top of a cupcake, you know?
Yeah, just an added bonus that anything you get from Dulcich. And I'm thinking, hopefully he can stay healthy, because, like I said, when Dulcich is on the field, it's great.
Electric.
Dynamic.
Yep.
But again, just hoping he can stay healthy. But again, yeah, Nicholas, thank you for coming in. And like I said, I'm glad you provided that good segue to mine. So it worked perfectly there, my guy. All righty. Let's see who else we have in the chat. We got Lawrence Rivera coming back in with a $5 super chat. Thank you, my man. He says, I'd get a tight end first round pick at 12, double down on Stidham, and get a middle linebacker next round and fullback the following, just to add blockers and playmakers we can use day one. That's interesting. Okay. You know, I guess I see where you're headed, Lawrence, as far as, you know, again, the tight end Brock Bowers, if he's there, I'm there with you. The doubling down on Stidham, that's where I think you and I disagree. And then getting that middle round line, I'm sorry, the middle linebacker next round, I think I disagree there as well. Simply because I really do think the Broncos need to look at quarterback at some point premium. Now, again, I know this pod is about some of the non-QB holes they can prioritize, but you know, QB is still a need and still the priority here. And I think, you know, within those first three rounds, it would do them justice to see if they can try their best to land Nix or Penix, you know, or if one of the top four fall. But again, it just depends on how the draft shakes up. But if they're in that position, let's say, you know, if they do trade back, maybe grabbing the Knicks later on, or if they can get, you know, I know they don't have a second round pick now, but if they can use something to package up to get in the second round to grab a Knicks or Penix if they fall, right? I think that's a little bit of a better strategy. And again, not to say that what you're saying with middle linebacker and the fullback can happen, because I still, those should be also positions they look at. I just think those can be selected in later rounds. That's all. Like, say, take a flyer on fullback, linebackers later rounds, but you know, definitely tight end, edge. We forgot to even specifically call it the edge group there, Dylan. Edge and quarterback definitely need to be the three position groups focused on when it comes to those first 3-4 rounds for sure. But I mean, your strategy isn't bad. It's just a matter of, again, and I see what you're saying. It's, you know, adding blockers to kind of help fortify the blocking and kind of focusing on the run game to help Stidham. And again, that's not all bad. But again, I just think, you know, based on some of those big gaping holes with some of the positions we're mentioning and quarterback kind of being the primary one, those kind of need to take a little bit more priority.
Yeah, I just don't see Stidham starting for this team. Like, I'm assuming this scenario, you're taking Bowers at 12 because there's, yeah, I don't find any other tight end to be a first round talent. Maybe you could sneak Jatavion in the end of the first, but realistically, I think Bowers is the guy in the first round. But I just don't know. I think if you're not getting a quarterback within the first few rounds, I think you could see Ryan Tannehill leading this team. I just don't see Stidham walking into the season as a starter. I know the fans want to tank or whatever, you know, oh, you know, we can just be bad next year so we can get a higher pick or whatever. I don't see Sean Payton being okay with that. And maybe he is. Maybe he's confident with Stidham. That's just kind of my feeling. In terms of middle or inside linebacker, I think they're so highly overrated by fans. And not to say they're not, like, you know, a position that you need, because, you know, you get some solid guys. But I just don't get the emphasis on spending early draft capital on them. Like, you see Devin White taken, I believe it was fourth or fifth overall by the Buccaneers, mm-hmm. and they didn't even really re-sign him till the third day of free agency, because he's just, it's not a premium position. It's like the running back of the defense. And I share a brain with our very own Nick Kendall on that. I would rather have the defensive line get built up.
Yes.
And getting pressure on the quarterback. And we have some solid guys there. I mean, obviously Alex Singleton, Cody Barton, we brought in Jonas Griffith, Drew Sanders, who knows, if they were smart, they'd leave him there. But I just don't, I'm a hater. Call me a hater for the inside linebackers in terms of taking them too early. And then for fullback, I like Michael Burton there. I don't think we need to use any draft picks on him. Maybe you get a UDFA, but I think we're pretty set there.
Yeah. And again, you know, and I think you and I are sharing the brain there on the one, Dylan, that I think I still like middle linebackers. Again, mm-hmm. I don't think it's one of those where you prioritize a premium round pick for. Again, exactly. You can find them sixth round, even seventh round, even some UDFAs. Mm-hmm. You know, right? But I don't see it. Now, some, obviously, Roquan Smith being, what was it, number 8th overall, I believe, to the Bears that mm-hmm. year. I mean, you have some unicorns, right? You know, Wilcon Smith, I probably would have done that. I mean, he was great, and he was a highly thought out prospect coming out of Georgia that year. So maybe in that situation, possibly getting, you know, a middle linebacker high, but I would say I'm right there with you and Nick that I like them, but again, I just think they can be looked at a little bit later on in the draft. But yeah, it's an interesting strategy, Lawrence. And again, I see where your head is. Just kind of having a lot of things funnel through that run game and playing some good defense. And again, that's not a bad idea. It's just I want a more dynamic quarterback. I want someone that you can bring in and Sean Payton can kind of help mold and develop and can be the future of this team. And Stidham is just not that guy. Stidham is just not that guy. So, all right. Thank you. All right, let's see. So, yeah, I do see some comments in here. Some people would do the Bowers at 12, some won't. So it looks like we're split in opinion there. And I do see a few folks talking about Joe Milton. Yeah, Joe Milton has the arm. I mean, he's a toolsy guy. The raw talent is there. He's just going to need some work. He's going to need a lot of work with intermediate throws over the middle. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of reading
placing that ball better.
Yeah, with the accuracy, the ball placement. Some of that has to be cleaned up. But you know, I'm okay with, you know, if you can maybe take a flyer on them. Let's say their guys don't fall. Penix or Bo Nix isn't there. They don't fall. They pass on Rattler. You know, maybe Joe Milton's a guy they want to take a flyer on in one of those later rounds and maybe help develop. But again, we will see. It's so many different ways the Broncos can go, and who knows how Sean Payton is is approaching this. So we will see. All right. Oh, yeah, and Jeremy Sean here coming in. Yep, and I was going to talk about Travis as well. Milton has one thing and not much else. I'd rather have Pratt. Yeah, Jordan Travis, and I know he hasn't really been getting much talk because I know that gruesome injury, I think, has kind of lowered his stock quite substantially. But I went back and watched some Jordan Travis film, Dylan. That guy is good. I think he can definitely be an option. And again, I don't know how low he'll go. I mean, maybe with that injury, fifth, sixth, or seventh round, maybe even UDFA, possibly. I just don't know how teams view that injury. But, you know, I do think if he can get into a Sean Payton system, I think that's a guy that can definitely be successful. Again, there are a few things that he can work on, obviously, but I think he can definitely be good once he gets the shot with the right team.
Yeah, I definitely like some things with Travis. It'll be interesting to see because he's mobile, how that injury affects him. In terms of Pratt, I absolutely hate his arm.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, you talk about the Sean Payton system. I'm sure Sean might like him. He could be a solid backup. I don't ever see him being a starter. So if Sean wants to take a flyer on him late, why not? Get a backup type, someone who can run your offense. But just seeing him at the Senior Bowl is some clips that Scott Kennedy posted from the practices and then in the game too. It's just like, I can't trust him to, but I know people bring up Bo Nix and his arm strength and he's fine. Like he can get the ball there, but when you look at Pratt, it's just, you never know. It looks like, you know, a dying duck in the air. Yeah. It's just not someone I would like. I don't know. I think you could take a shot on any of these guys. It just depends on Sean Payton's preference. And maybe that would be Pratt just in terms of short game stuff.
Yeah, the short, quick stuff, which again, I'm like you, like, I'm not a Pratt fan. The ball, like his arm is, looks like more of a noodle arm to me. He doesn't throw with zip, and I'm like, will that ball even get there? Like, yeah, I'm looking at some of the plays, I'm like, yeah, that's, but again, who knows? Sean Payton, again, may take a flyer on him later, and he could be on the Broncos roster. Who knows? But yeah, thank you, Jeremy Sean, for that comment there. Let's see. That's kind of proves the chat. We're running up about the hour here, so we're just going to look to see if we have any more comments, questions from you guys. Let's see here.
I see a little bit of conjecture about Zach Wilson being better than JJ McCarthy.
Oh.
And that's about all I care to say about that. I think everyone else can. I'll let y'all fight about that. I don't think that's. I don't know about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we just we'll let you guys continue that conversation. We'll leave that one alone. All right, guys. Well, again, we don't see anyone, so we are going to wrap it up for tonight. Again, guys, this was a great conversation as always. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. Dylan and I appreciate you as always. If you don't do anything else, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe, and share on all of our platforms, on all your platforms. Also, follow us on X at Ron White NFL and at Dylan Von Arcs MHH. Yeah, make sure you just tweet us on everything. Any football questions you have, anything with mock drafts. I know I've been posting a few mock drafts on mine and on the Orange and Blue View feed. So please review those. Give me your thoughts. And of course, if you have any yourself, feel free to tag me and include me on those, and we can provide our comments. And then we will see you all next week. Before we get out of here, do you have any last words for the community, Dylan?
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining, and thank you for anyone who super chatted or sent in stars. We greatly appreciate that, and everyone else in the chat, even if you're not donating, it's just nice to see the conversation going. And I'm gonna get to WrestleMania after this. Anyone's watching, and I won't get to say it tomorrow, but go Gunther. I hope he absolutely squashes Sami Zayn. That's all I got.
Yep, I'll be watching down the side in some UConn and Alabama as well. Mm-hmm. So I'll be looking at that as well. But yeah, thank you guys again for tuning in, and we hope that you have a great rest of your weekend. And go Broncos.
Go Broncos.